We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's brother, parents, Le'ab and Abba, and Le'ab Asavram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshamas should have an aliyah. So as I mentioned a few seconds ago, for those who are just coming on, we're going to be having a half-hour shiur this morning from me, and then we're going to transition to Rav Asher Shannonbrook. Our rabbinic intern is going to give another half-hour. So all in all, you're still here in the Zoom room for an hour total, as usual. But we're going to be splitting it up. He's going to be giving a special shiur on Hanukkah. We are going to be doing a new Mishnah, and I guess for those who have been with us for the other 140-something shiurim, you're not going to believe me, but I think it is actually possible for us to finish this Mishnah in the half hour that we have. So let us see the Mishnah. This is from Perek 5, Mishnah 13. As we read this, let us keep in mind the structure and the various questions that we have asked in previous Mishnayos that have been similar in structure and type, and the questions that will come up will somewhat be redundant, which is one of the reasons why this might take quicker than usual. As you can also tell by the source sheet, it is very small, right? It's very short. We're going to probably be doing most of the discussion. I think at this point, my goal is to be able to have you and me and everybody together sort of intuit and figure out what the commentators may actually say about this Mishnah. So we have high goals for today. So let's read the Mishnah first. Arba midos beholche leves ha-medrash. There are four midos, four types, four characteristics, four personalities when it comes to people who holche, who walk to, here translated as frequent, but don't get caught up in the translation here, people who frequent, walk to, go to the Beit Medrash, the house of study. What are these four types of people that go to the house of study? There is a holech ve'eino ose. There are those who walk there, who attend, but they don't actually do. Schar halicha biyado. They get reward for attendance. Now, right away, our minds should be sort of flickering. What does that mean, to go and not to do? What does doing mean here and not doing mean? So holech ve'eino ose, I'm going and I'm not doing, so I get reward for going, but presumably I don't get reward for doing because I'm not doing whatever doing is. So that's number one. Number two, ose ve'eino holech. I do, whatever that means, but I don't go. So schar maisa biyado. I get reward for the doing, the action, but obviously not for the going, because I'm not going. Again, unclear what I'm doing. Number three is the best of both worlds. Holech v'ose z'chassid. I go and I do. I am pious. And the opposite extreme is lo holech v'lo ose. I don't go and I don't do. I am a rasha. I am a wicked person if I do that. So we have like similar structure to the past five or six Mishnayos that we've done. We have two extremes, our pious and our wicked on the extremes, and then two middle paths that have the one of the two things, but not both. And there's a different judgment for each of those. So step number one is we want to distinguish between this Mishnah and two other similar Mishnayos that we've seen in terms of people who are in the general discussion of learning. Right, so for those who remember, and I put them here for you, we had the Mishnah it's the previous Mishnah, but we didn't do it last week because we jumped around a little bit, if you remember. But the previous Mishnah, 5:12, says, Arba midos betalmidim. There are four types of talmidim, students, disciples. And that was those who remember and can understand quickly versus those who can't. Right, so that was that whole discussion. Then in source C, we had a Mishnah that we also did, although this is a future Mishnah, technically chronologically, but it's Arba Midos B'Yoshvim Lifnei Chachamim. It is four characteristics, four types of students who sit before the sages. Okay, hi to Daniel Lefkowitz, who's watching on Facebook and typed in the comments. Happy Hanukkah to you as well. So we have three different Mishnayos that introduce types of people who are relevant to the study house. The question that we want to ask us, we want to ask ourselves, is, are there differences between these three types of people, these three categories of people? If you remember, when we analyzed source C against source B, we discussed, is there a difference between somebody who's Yoshvim Lefnei Chacham, who sits before the sages, and somebody who's just called a Talmud? And I remember Rabbi Shiloni had a few ideas, we discussed it, we brainstormed what the possible differences are. So now we have another added variable into the mix. What does it mean to be a Holich Lebeis HaMedrash versus a Talmud and somebody who sits before the sages? So I hope your brains are working here. I was going to pose this to the audience, but I'm actually going to not, partially because we only have the half hour. So hopefully we're thinking about this. I'll give you one particular answer that's given in the commentaries, and that's just to distinguish between those who are permanent studiers, as it were, those who are in the Beis Medrash every day. It's their full-time job, as it were. And those who are just going to hear a drasha, go to Daf Yomi, go to, go on Shabbos to hear a shir. The people who are basically working class people who are holchim, they're walking to the Beis Medrash every once in a while to catch up on something, to hear a nice drasha, to hear a nice musar vort, to get some self-improvement, to connect to God a little bit, learn some Torah. But it's not full-time studiers. Okay, so that perhaps is correct. You may disagree, and some others disagree, and would say that there's really no fundamental difference between a Talmud and a Yoshev Lefnei Chachamim, and maybe a Holich Lebeis HaMedrash is somebody who's there full-time also. But to start thinking about, this Mishnah may be more applicable to the, most of us who aren't necessarily sitting and learning all day compared to the other ones, which were describing, students and people who are there full time. This is for everybody. You're going to the Beis Medrash every once in a while, or you're not going to the Beis Medrash every once in a while. That's the number 2 and 4, which we'll talk about shortly. But it's people who just go to get something from the Beis Medrash, but not necessarily are there full time. So let's start off with the first question. If you remember from the last Mishnah that we did, right, we said there are four types of people. And then two of those people weren't actually those types of people. Meaning, let's apply it to this Mishnah, you have four types of people who go to the Beis Medrash. Then the Mishnah then elucidates four types of people. But half of them, number 2 and number 4, don't actually go to the Beis Medrash. So it seems like a contradiction. You're telling me there's four types of people who go to the Beis Medrash, but then the enumeration, elucidation, is of people who go and some people who don't go. So why are you calling the people who don't go people who go to the Beis Medrash? So hopefully you remember from last week, one possible explanation of this is that you're right, they're not going. But we're talking about people who could potentially go. And these are people who could go to the Beis Medrash, but since they're not, yes, they're not going, but we still call them within the category of those who can go to the Beis Medrash. And so the commentators give some other answers. I don't want to get caught up on that now, but I wanted to highlight that because it's a repeating question that has come up in the past. So the most important question that we're going to have to deal with, and for this I will open it up to the audience, what are my options here for Osei and Eino Osei? That's really the crux of this, right? We're talking about going to the Beis Medrash and doing. But what is the doing and what is the not doing? If I don't understand that, then I don't understand the Mishnah. So what are my options in terms of what can it possibly mean to go and to do, or to go and not to do? Freda.
You have a choice. Either they're talking to people who they go to the Beis Medrash, but they're not learning.
Okay.
They're going and they're sitting in the back, and they're not sitting and learning. Or the people who go to the Beis Medrash and learning, but they're not applying what they learned to life and how they're and behavior.
Okay, great. So those are and behavior. Do you mean, let's sort of subdivide that?
Like Shomer Mitzvot. I'm learning, I go to the Beis Medrash, I learn Torah, I learn mitzvot, and then I go home and I do whatever I want. But I'm just knowledgeable, but I'm not observant.
Okay, good. So one possible doing, going and not doing is going and learning or not learning. So let's, we'll talk about that. Another is going, learning, but not doing. And here you're translating doing as doing mitzvos, like kashrus and the like. What are other, let's hear from somebody else. What are other possible not doings? Evelyn?
Yeah, I was just... It's funny, as I was reading it, I was thinking of the 60s, so that's dating myself, but I was thinking of all the draft dodging yeshivas that opened and all these guys who were registered to go to learn in order to avoid the draft in the 60s. And this is just what was passing through my mind at the time when I first read it now.
Okay, so they were sort of using the yeshiva as a way to get out of responsibilities. Okay, that could
mildly.
Right, that could be. You know, I would put that at, maybe it's a slightly different answer than Freda's going and not learning, but I would put it within the same broad category of I'm going to a place that is supposed to be about learning and then I'm not. Right? So that's a not learning. Any other options in terms of not if you're going to say that it's not doing, you know, not doing mitzvos and anything else that I might be learning but not doing? Any brainstorms out there? So what about learning and not behaving in a appropriate way, right? Derech Eretz. Maybe I'm just brainstorming here, right? So there could be learning, but I'm not actually doing the behavior that comes along with it. That's not necessarily the same thing as doing mitzvos. I could be shomer Torah and mitzvos. I could be learning, but I might not be behaving appropriately. So let's just put that out there as an option. And then what about there are some, I'll just sort of short circuit this a little bit. There are some commentaries who explain that this actually means learning, but not doing chesed. So it's a subtype of doing. Right, so there could be a broad doing, not I'm not doing mitzvos in general. Could be I am learning and I am doing lulav and Shabbos and kashrus and that, but I'm not doing chesed. So these are let's put it into three broad ways of looking at our Mishnah. Is learning, is going but not learning Torah, going but not doing mitzvos, then going but not doing the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro type of concepts, right? The character concepts. So I might be going but not internalizing how to act towards others. So that's three ways that we can understand this Mishnah broadly speaking. So let's start with doing mitzvos. Let's assume our Mishnah is talking about going to a Beis Medrash and doing mitzvos. That would be the chassid, right? I'm going to the Beis Medrash and I'm also doing mitzvos. Let's go in order though. The first one would be I'm going to the Beis Medrash and not doing mitzvos. So now we have a little bit of a problem. Holech ve'ino osef. If I go to the Beis Medrash and I don't do mitzvos, what would your judgment of that type of person be? Right? Presumably it's not that positive. Yet the Mishnah is sort of ambivalent and not as negative as you would hope, right? Schar halicha biyadu. Ah, they go to the Beis Medrash, they get schar. Really?
He doesn't learn and he doesn't do mitzvot.
No. So that's not we're not doing yet. That's you're conflating two of them. Which again, I'll grant you, Rabbi Shloni, is a possibility that we can, right? We gave three different options. That it's I'm going, but I'm not doing. So we said is doing learning, is doing mitzvot, is doing character. So you're saying all of the above, right? It could be I'm going and I'm not doing any of those things. So that could be. But for simplicity's sake, let's split them up. I'm going, I'm learning, but I'm not doing mitzvot. I would assume that that person would get a stronger critique than, oh, at least he went and he got some reward for that. But it's almost, I would say he should be, it should be worse off. Like he's a hypocrite.
I see him as a phony.
Right, he's a hypocrite. He's a phony.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense to say he gets schar halicha. So because
But maybe there's a chance it'll not affect him. Like it'll wear on. I'm losing my words.
So maybe there'd be some sort of a sub.
Yeah, it'll be mush.
It'll influence him. Okay, so that could be. So meaning you're now explaining that you're sort of getting even more nuanced. Within the category of somebody who goes and doesn't do, you could have somebody who goes and doesn't do who's a hypocrite and who's sort of like, you know, what we'd use, lahachis, like he doesn't really care, but he's going just to, you know, sort of show off or waste time or whatever. And you're saying, no, maybe he's going in order to learn more, but he's not ready to make that commitment. He's almost like a bal tshuva. He's trying to learn more about things. So then I would have a less negative take on it, and maybe he gets reward for going even though he's not actually doing, because maybe there'll be some influence later on. Okay, I like it. So that's another subcategory as to why that might be true. The commentaries generally go in a slightly different way, and they say that when it means that you're not doing, it doesn't mean you don't do any mitzvos, because again, that would be, except for the caveat that we just explained, that maybe they're going to start the process, you know, the Baal Tshuva process. Let's put that to the side for a second and assume we're talking about actively doing mitzvos in a normal sense, somebody who's always been doing it. So I'm going to the Beis Medrash, but I'm not doing mitzvos. So they say it doesn't mean you're not doing mitzvos. You're doing mitzvos, right? You're keeping Shabbos, you're keeping kashrus, but it means I don't go out of my way to actively look for mitzvos. Right, so I'm a frum Jew. I go do stuff. I keep all the mitzvos, and I go to the Beis Medrash. But I'm not going out of my way to actively look for mitzvos. So that type of person gets reward. He's going, but it's not, since he's not going out of his way, we're not so enamored by that type of personality. And in contrast, you know, we'll skip to number three for a second. The chassid, the pious person, this is what piety means, is I'm going above and beyond. I'm not just looking for the standard status quo, the minimal that I can do, that I'm just going to do mitzvos, and I'm gonna go to listen to a shir every once in a while, and I'll do my mitzvos. No, I'm going above and beyond. I'm going out of my way to look for opportunities to be able to do such things. So that would be the pious person. Right, so going back for a second to number two, somebody who is who's osei, he does mitzvos, let's say, but he's eino holich. So he goes out of his way to do mitzvos, but he doesn't go to the Beis Medrash. So that person gets a middle ground judgment of schar maisa biyado. He gets reward for the mitzvos, right? But he doesn't get reward for going to the Beis Medrash because he's not going to the Beis Medrash. So the critique of this person, although again there's a benefit to this, and we're giving a nice accolade, he's getting his schar, but it's not the perfected number three of being pious, because if I'm doing mitzvos but I'm not going to the Beis Medrash to learn, then my knowledge of those mitzvos will be limited. Right? I won't be able to do the mitzvos as well as I would be able to do them if I knew more. So there is a direct connection, and this we've spoken about at length in the past, between knowledge and doing. Right? I need to have some sort of knowledge base in order to be able to do mitzvos well. If I don't have that knowledge base, then I won't. So this person is somewhat limited because they're not going to learn, but they do have a benefit that they are actively trying to do mitzvos. And we spoke about the pious person as someone who's going out of his way and he's looking for mitzvos and going to learn. And then the wicked person here doesn't learn and doesn't do mitzvos even when they come to him. So meaning it's not like I'm going out of my way. They're smacking me in the face and I'm still not doing it. So that person's deemed wicked. I don't think we have to really elaborate too much on that because it's pretty straightforward. If I'm not learning and I'm not doing mitzvos even when they come to me, we're not going to give that person any good acknowledgments, and the negative critique is a fair one. I reiterate what we've spoken about in the past as to the appropriateness of labeling somebody globally as a Russia. Maybe they have some redeeming qualities, so keep that nuance in mind that might apply here too. Maybe this person can do good things at some point in time, but in terms of just as a paradigm of not good behavior, if I'm not learning and I'm not doing mitzvos, then I'm not going to be called a good Torah follower. So that's in terms of doing mitzvos. we're going to transition in a moment to the rest of the shir, that, you know, a little bit of time that we have for this morning, to talk about what would it mean if Oseh here means learning. But before we get there, I'm going to give you two cute ideas. I guess cute is the wrong word, but we'll call it cute anyway. Short, brief ideas of what else Oseh can mean that is suggested by the Sfat Emet. So the Sfat Emet says something that's not sort of accepted by most commentaries, but it's, again, think of a synonym for cute that doesn't sound so condescending. But, Oseh could mean to get others to do mitzvos. So I'm holeich, and Oseh, like to ma'aseh, means like to force, sort of to influence, right? Am I influencing others to do mitzvos? And you could reread the Mishnah within that discussion. Am I basically doing things on my own, or am I looking to broaden out my influence to others? Again, it's a very powerful and deep idea. It's not cute, but it's a cute reading, as it were. And then the other possibility he suggests is that it's referring to doing, and Oseh means to build the Beis Medrash. So you can go to the Beis Medrash to learn, but are you, you know, working towards sort of the structure, the maintenance, the building of the Beis Medrash? Those are two, sort of put those in parentheses, nice ideas by the Sfat Emet, or Sfas Emes, as he would probably call himself. So now let's go to the final piece here, which is learning, right? If holeich means going, and Oseh means learning, so for isolate mitzvos, we're not talking about mitzvos. This is talking about being in a Beis Medrash. So I'm going to a Beis Medrash, and I'm not learning, right? Holeich ve'eino Oseh. So the person is schar halicha biyado. He gets reward for attendance. So now, question is, what does that mean he's not learning? So the way Freida put it before was he's going, but he's sitting in the back and schmoozing. Now, I don't know if that person would get reward for going. Right? If I'm going and I'm actively not doing, like, and almost sort of ignoring the process of the Beis Medrash, I don't know if we would give that person a schar halicha biyado. Again, let's assume that that's not what it's talking about. So maybe the person's going, and NOS means they're not understanding. Okay, so they're trying to learn, but they're not. But now the question becomes, if that's the case, then why don't they get reward for trying to learn? I mean, you're saying I'm getting reward for going. I get that. But is learning about results? We've spoken about this several times. Learning is about a process. And if I'm trying to learn, just because I don't understand the learning, why wouldn't I get reward for the effort of, and that counts as learning? So that might require a bigger, broader discussion, but the way the commentaries generally deal with it, and I'll give you the Maharal, for example, he basically calls into question whether or not you tried hard enough. So if you went to learn, but you didn't really try, then you're not getting reward for the learning, but you'll get reward for going. But if I did go and I did try, and just by the end I couldn't get it, I get reward for learning also. Right? So schar was sort of going to look at within number one, we have different extremes. If I'm going and I'm not learning, right, enoos, it means I'm not learning actively, I'm going to have a hard time saying you get reward for going, right, because you're talking in the back. That doesn't count. But if I'm going and I'm really, really trying, then presumably I get reward not just for going, but for learning. So we have to create this sort of middle piece here where I'm going but not really trying too hard. My brain's not really in it. So for that, you get reward for going, but you don't get reward for the learning. So let's assume that that's the case. So why do I get reward for going? Right? What's the benefit, right, to reframe it? What's the benefit of going if I'm not actively learning? So presumably, if I called it, pulled the audience here, which we don't have time for at this point, you could come up with various ideas. You know, this value of trying. It brings energy to the Beis Medrash. The fact that I show up to a shir, even if I don't get it, there's a communal benefit to such thing. Tiferes Yisrael talks about how my desire to go, even if I can't get it, and even if I go there and it's sort of like I'm tired and I can't focus and I can't function and I'm not really trying that hard, but my desire to be there, to be part of that learning group itself is something that's beneficial. So I will get reward for going. It is better, I guess, functionally, you could ask yourself practically, what's the question here, right? It's 10 o'clock at night. There's a shir that I can go to. 9 o'clock at night. Shir I can go to, but I'm tired. I'm probably not going to pay attention. I'm not going to focus. Should I go? Should I not go? And the answer is presumably go, because you'll get reward for going even if you're not actually learning. So that's broad message number one. Judy, I'm gonna just pause. I can't take questions now. I'm sorry, because we're out of time, and Usher is gonna start his shiur in a few minutes. So I just want to finish. Okay, so we'll take questions at the end of the second shiur. I'll leave some time for it. Okay, apologize for that. Let's go to number two now. Oseh ve'eino holich. I'm going. I'm doing, but I'm not going. So if that means learning, it means I'm learning, but I'm not going to shul. So why is it not ideal? So it's not ideal because you lose all that benefit of being in a base madrash, that there's a atmosphere, there's an environment, there's a mitzvah to be there. And there is a benefit to actually pushing yourself physically. The Maharal talks about this, by actively going, to pushing yourself to go to work on your physical, to overcome any laziness you might have, to push yourself to go to the base medrash is valuable. So it is important to leave your house to go to a base medrash, that you do get benefit for that. Now, we could talk about it at a different point in time, if there's ever a benefit to staying home versus going to the base medrash, but we'll leave that for a nuanced future discussion. The best of both worlds is I'm going to the base medrash and I'm learning. Why is that the best? Again, there's an environment that's important. I'm subduing my physical laziness that I don't want to get out of the house by going, and that creates a momentum towards, sort of going towards God here. The Maharal talks about that in a pretty metaphysical sense, and I'm able to subdue my physicality for the sense of going to God is something that's beneficial. Learning Berabim has a powerful impact, connected to Hanukkah briefly. Pursume Nisa on some level is, you want to show Hanukkah to everybody. Same thing with learning. With learning is in a group, there's a power, there's an energy, there's a momentum that comes with that. And by learning with others, it's also a chesed, right? I can learn from others, I can teach others, and again, that reciprocal relationship is developed. And then finally, I think the obvious one here is, if I'm not going to the base manager and I'm not learning, so that person gets nothing, right? He's not doing anything. So ideally, we want to be somebody who goes to a shir, to the base manager. Again, this is not talking about people in yeshiva, according to the Tiferes Yisrael we started with. This is talking about all of us who are working full-time or not, whatever. Do I go to the base manager when I have the opportunity? Do I go to the shir when I can? And by going, by actively going, there is power to that. By being part of the community, it's better than learning on my own and by myself. There is benefit to going to a shir and going to the base medrash, even if I'm not going to fully learn, not to distract ourselves and to distract others and cause problems by going, but by trying and being there, there is a spiritual benefit to such things. And I think that the big picture of this Mishnah is pretty clear, that it's pretty important to be part of a learning community, right? Learning is about being connected to other people. We get the most out of our learning experience when we can interact and when we can pull off of each other and take energy from each other, and to ask questions from each other and to keep developing our skills and our personalities with each other. Learning is not something that is supposed to be done isolated. It's something that's supposed to be done as a group. And there's what to say about that in terms of Chavrusa learning as well. We'll perhaps save that for a different time.